we have a very special guest, inshallah, from the United States, Brother Donald Anderson. And he was converted to be a Muslim, and he is living in Kansas. Donald, welcome. Brother Donald, how are you?
Good. How are you today? Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, Donald, and you were raised as Christian, actually, we know. You were raised as Catholic. And in your 20s, you began to make research into your faith. How did this curiosity of yours develop?
Well, Allah has blessed me with an intellectual curiosity. Even as a young child, I endeavored to use large words rather than simpler ones. And as I progressed through my schooling, I noticed, you know, they were teaching things like, you know, the Spanish Inquisition, the Crusades, Pope Innocent XIII. And, you know, it began to raise questions in my mind, because if truly they were teaching me the true faith, then why did they have to force this faith on other people and force them to believe in this faith?
MashaAllah. As far as I know, your question in Christianity led you to become an atheist at first. Why was that?
Well, at the time, with my limited amount of knowledge, this was back several years ago when I was in my early 20s, I was, you know, exploring the idea of Christianity, and I was coming up with a lot of questions. And these questions were questions that the priest did not seem to understand or be able to explain to me sufficiently. You know, why did you have to spread your realism by force? Why did God have a son? You know, things of this nature. And at this time, I didn't know anything about Islam. The only thing I knew about Islam was Muslims don't eat pork, they don't drink alcohol, they pray five times a day. But beyond this, I didn't know very much about the religion. So it was easy for me as an individual to form the idea that religion was just an idea created by human beings as a method to control other people.
Yes, the false belief of Trinity did not exist in true Christianity. It was a true religion when it was first revealed, but it was altered subsequently. What are your thoughts on this matter?
Well, the whole idea of Jesus as a prophet, you have to understand his mission was to confront the ideas that were going astray in Israel at the time of his prophethood. He had the problems of the Pharisees, the tax collectors. They were falsifying the words of the Torah to their own benefit. And that was the mission of Jesus Christ. If one reads the Gospels of St. Barnabas, one understands that even in the time of Jesus Christ, people were coming up with the false idea that he was the Son of God. But whenever this did happen, Jesus, peace be upon him, would admonish these people and tell them that, no, I am not the Son of God, I am a prophet of God. It wasn't until much later, 120 years after his supposed crucifixion, that the first Bible came into existence, which was, of course, the Orthodox Bible. Well, that went on, and the Orthodox Bible didn't mention anything about Jesus Christ's divinity, only that he was a prophet of God. It wasn't until when the Emperor Constantinople, who was a pagan himself, saw that Christianity was growing in his region of Rome, and he was not able to control it any longer, that he decided that he would embrace Christianity. By doing so, he found some 1,200 texts that dealt with the life and the meaning of Jesus Christ's life. And through these 1,200 texts, he just basically randomly picked out four that told a similar story, all of which proclaimed Jesus to be the Son of God. After that, you, of course, have the Council of Nicaea. And at the Council of Nicaea, he forced all the religious leaders of Europe to stay in one room for basically about 7 years under guard, until they also were willing to admit that Jesus was the Son of God and teach it as thus.
Yes, I mean, we know from the Quran, actually, of course, Trinity is wrong. It doesn't make any sense, of course, and there is one God, and who is infinite, and that is Allah, inshallah. And Jesus, peace be upon him, is a prophet that we love and obey him very much. And in fact, it is stated in the Quran that he wasn't crucified, he wasn't killed, and he will return, inshallah, in the end times. And we're living in these times, alhamdulillah. We will see him soon, inshallah. And of course, knowing this fact is very important, as you said, inshallah. And in fact, in the Gospel also, he is a human, he shows humanly behaviors. He gets tired, he sleeps, and he prays to God in the gospel. A God would never pray to himself, of course. So that means he is a human being and he is a prophet of Allah, inshallah.
Yes, and also the prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, when he was asked when the end days would come, he said, I do not know the answer to this question. The answer lies with the Father, of course, being God or Allah.
Yes, inshallah. Yes. Now, when and how did you first read the Quran? And what attracted your attention first, and what did you feel?
Well, I had been an atheist for a number of years, and around about when I was 36, 37 years old, I happened to meet a woman of Serbian descent. She was raised in the Yugoslavian Republic, and so she was raised a communist her entire life. Now, she was aware that certain of her relatives were Muslim and that she herself was Muslim by descent, but didn't have very much knowledge of the Quran or what was contained therein. Well, then the unfortunate events of 9/11 happened, and the then President George Bush got on the television, and he started talking about how the Quran teaches hate, Muslims are haters, their schools teach hate, and it was a religion of violence. At that time, I was very appreciative that the then Prime Minister of Turkey admonished him for saying the words Muslim terrorist. I think that was very important to put that conversation back on track. All Muslims are not terrorists. Well, anyways, he did say this thing, and it was very upsetting to my wife. Her name is Dika, by the way. So Dika called her brother in Germany, and she asked him, you know, what is this? You know, how is it our religion teaches hate? And her brother was very simple and concise about it. He said, well, you have relatives that are Muslim, don't you? She said, well, yes, of course I do. He said, well, did any of them ever tell you to kill somebody or to blow anything up? And she had to reply, no. It was at this point in time that we decided that we would read the Quran for ourselves. So we started off first reading it online, and then later I purchased a copy of the Quran and read it cover to cover.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Of course, there is no violence and there is no terrorism in the Quran, which is not compatible, not only with the Islam. Terrorism and violence is also not compatible with the Christianity or Judaism. So these violence and the terror originates from irreligious philosophies. The source of radicalism and the bigotry is not Islam itself, but it's irreligious philosophies. Because in Islam, in Quran, Allah says, I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Murdering one innocent person is like murdering entire humanity. Saving one innocent person's life is like saving entire humanity. So there is no justification at all for killing innocent people. It is haram. But however, we see that terrorism has originated, radicalism has originated. For example, there are some suicide bombers. Suicide also haram. Allah says, do not kill yourselves. There is no justification for suicide. There is no justification for violence and the terror. In fact, in the Islam, there is compassion, mercy, love, tolerance, justice, peace, brotherhood. Islam derives from the word slim, actually. The meaning is the peace.
Mm-hmm. And Islam's translation is submission, submission to God's will.
Yes. Yes. MashaAllah. So educating, I'm sorry, go ahead, please, yes.
Oh, no, I was just going to interject there that, you know, many times in history there have been Christians that have committed acts of terror. You had the IRA in Ireland. You have acts of terrorism that were committed by Christians here in the United States. We had the Unabomber. We had Tim McVeigh. And no one refers to these people as Christian terrorists. Simply, they are terrorists. And I agree with you that anyone that would do these acts cannot rightly call themselves a Muslim. It is against everything that is written in the Quran.
Well, definitely not. In September 11, for example, in these attacks, there were sincere Muslims, sincere Christians, and sincere Jews who were killed in these attacks. So these people cannot be Muslim. These people cannot be Christian or Jew. These people are just terrorists. Terrorism and religion is not compatible. It's actually contradictory. But teaching through Islam, through Quran, is very important. Education is very important. And this is exactly what Mr. Harun Yahya does. He's, in his 300 books, he defends the idea of, he targets the philosophies, which are the ideologies of the conflict, and which causes this violence and the terror with scientific evidences. He gives the scientific evidence of the creation of Allah, and he talks about the unity of Islam, inshallah. What do you think about the works of Mr. Harun Yahya?
They have been a great blessing, mashallah. I have learned so much about the religion because, you know, you learn a certain amount from reading the Quran. And obviously, if you live your life according to what's written in the Quran, you will do fine and inshallah, God will accept you in paradise. But the teachings of Harun Yahya, oh my goodness, he takes every aspect of human society, science, nature, anything you can think of, he shows you directly how it relates to Allah and his creation. Mashallah.
MashaAllah. And this is very important because Allah orders science in the Quran. Allah says, Allah orders to investigate, to ponder, deep thinking in the Quran. For example, Allah says, don't you look at the camel, how it was created. So in order to do that, we need the scientific tools. For example, genetics, molecular biology, paleontology, physiology, and anatomy is required to study and investigate. So a Muslim has to study and increase the level of the education, inshallah, and by knowing the evidences of the creation, the Muslim becomes aware of the infinite wisdom and power and artistry of Allah.
Well, not only this, but as I've grown up, I've understood that Christianity is a religion based entirely on faith. And as soon as you bring science into the argument, the person of faith is stumped for an answer. But when you look at the Quran, it discusses the Big Bang theory, the fact that planets are spheres. They travel in circles. The universe is ever expanding. There's a separation between salt and sweet water. How could these things have been known 1,400 years ago unless Allah writ the words?
MashaAllah, you're correct. And these are, of course, evidences of the Quran is the word of Allah. It could not have been known, as you said, 1,400 years ago. They were only discovered in the 20th century.
Well, and on top of this, the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, was raised in a pagan society in the Dark Ages. He was illiterate. How could he have possibly known this vast wealth of knowledge?
Of course, you're right, inshallah. So what did you know about Islam before you became a Muslim? How did you become interested in Islam, and how did you decide to embrace Islam?
Well, like I said, my wife was of Serbian descent, and she had relatives that were Muslim, but she didn't have a very good understanding of the religion itself. So for myself being an atheist at the time and her being rather irreligious, it seemed like a match. But I did not understand that Allah knew his creations better than we know ourselves. And he put her in my life for a reason.
MashaAllah. And I say our salam to Sister Dika, if she's there, inshallah.
Say, well, please, unfortunately, she's at work right now, but I will extend your greetings.
Yes, and we would like to have her as a guest also, inshallah, one day. Allah commands Muslims not to separate. This is an order from Allah, inshallah. Allah says, hold fast to the rope of Allah, altogether. The rope of Allah is Quran. And do not separate, Allah says. And Allah orders to unite. What do you think should be done in order to bring about the Islamic Union at the soonest time?
Well, unfortunately, there is a vast media that is working against us at this point in time. And it is very difficult to fight so many televisions and radios and newspapers all at one time. But I believe if one conducts itself properly in order with the Quran and shows other people that this is what Islam is all about, that is the greatest propaganda that you can have.
Inshallah. And inshallah, these are the days. Unity must happen, and this is an order from Allah, because of disunity, because of the fragmentation, because of the separation, Muslims suffered so much. Muslims got oppressed in Palestine, in Afghanistan, as you know, in Iraq, in East Turkestan, all around the world. But because of they got separated, they got fragmented. There are, as you know, Sunni, Shia, everybody hates each other. There are different sects, different groups, different people. This people that doesn't go to the mosque of the other people. But this is haram. This is against the Quran. So unity is a must and will be a solution to all the problems, inshallah.
Well, as I'm certain a man of your learning understands, one of the favorite tactics of Satan himself is to divide us and to conquer us.
Inshallah.
And right now we are very divided. and the only way we can get back to our strength is through unity. I hope that someday we can find this unity together, but I fear that it might not come about until Hazrat Mahdi, peace be upon him, shows his face.
Inshallah. And this is the time, because our Prophet has given the signs, not only in Islam, but also in the Judaism and Christianity, the signs of the end times are given. For example, our Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the occupation of the Afghanistan will be the sign of the end times and the appearance of the Mahdi, Iran-Iraqi war, occupation of the Iraq, sun and moon eclipses in the month of Ramadan, two following years, and this happened in 1981 and 1982, a bloody attack to the Kaaba, which happened since 1,400 years for the first time in the first day of Hijrah 1,400, which is 21st November of 1979, and also a comet, our Prophet said, will pass by, and Halley passed in 1986, and a second comet with two teeth, two tails, one in front and one in the back, and droughts before that, and floods after that, and this happened in 2009, Halley, the Lulin comet passed. Alhamdulillah, more than 150 signs came through. That means Mahdi must be alive. He is in the world. He must be on action. And Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace be upon him, must have returned.
Inshallah.
And these golden ages coming, inshallah. Islamic morality will prevail the world. And according to the hadiths, and according to the science of the Torah, and also from Christianity, the religious morality will prevail the world, inshallah. And we are very close by, because Allah is changing the world. There's economic crisis, and there is Arab Spring, wars, bloodshed, and these are like painful contractions of the birth. Glad tidings are coming, inshallah.
Yes, I understand these signs well through the teachings of Harun Yahya. I've been able to experience these learnings, and I am very hopeful that very soon the Hazrat Mahdi, peace be upon him, will make his way amongst us.
MashaAllah, inshallah. And it is great, for example, having you. You will be a very good example for people who are not embraced Islam yet, because your life is, mashallah, a blessing from Allah. You were a Christian first, then you became an atheist, but Allah created you as a Christian. Allah made you question the false beliefs of Christianity, and also the false understanding of atheism. And your embracing Islam is more valuable, actually, mashallah.
Well, thank you very much for saying so. Yes, there was a period of time when I was an atheist that I very much ignored the signs of Allah. And this caused my body and my mind great stress. I felt that everything that went well in my life was something that was because I caused it. Everything that went wrong in my life was because something that I did not do enough. And this stress caused me great sorrow. And it wasn't until my eyes were opened by Islam and reading of the Quran that I understood that I didn't have to carry all this weight, that God carries this weight for me.
MashaAllah. You are an American. What can be done to make the American people learn more about Islam?
Well, I, for myself, try to do my small part. I read the news on the internet, and when I see a story about, say, Darwinism or Christianity or things of that nature, I like to blog and put my comments below so that at least someone that reads these comments can understand that there isn't only this one perspective. There's so much more that they can learn if they were willing to open their eyes. And I think if all of us go out there and act as ambassadors for the religion of Islam, that is the greatest way to spread Islam. There's no compulsion in religion, so people have to want to come to our religion.
Yes, mashallah, inshallah. And as you know, and you touched that in the theory of evolution, it is not a theory, because for the theory, to be a scientific theory, it requires evidences from observations and experiments. Observations and experiments falsify that. That's the reason why it's not a theory. It's an ideology. It's called Darwinism, which claims life emerged by chance and there is no creator. Of course, which is scientifically wrong, because we know today even a single protein to emerge by chance is impossible. Other proteins must exist, a living cell must exist. And also, there are 350 million fossils. The fossils of the living things which lived in the past shows us the species appear abruptly, complete and perfectly formed, and there are no transitions as evolution claims. That means Darwinism is just an ideology, it's a pagan religion, it's not science. And so doing a struggle against Darwinism is very important. Have you ever believed in this Darwinism nonsense?
Yes, unfortunately, I was a victim of the Darwinist dictatorship as myself. You know, when I went to school, they taught Darwinism as fact. Evolution was a fact. There was science that proved it, and there wasn't even any use in, you know, questioning it because it was such a fact. But like you say, if evolution is a fact, then why do they still call it a theory? And even Darwin himself wrote in his own book that he had many problems with his own theory,
yes,
but he was hoping that science would prove his theory over the course of time. But in fact, science has proven against his theory over the course of time.
Yes, and this is the time, mashallah, Mr. Adnan Oktar is struggling very powerfully and hard against Darwinism. The Atlas of Creation was sent all over the world, and his websites are being visited more than 100 million people, inshallah. So it is going down, and inshallah, religion is raising up because progressing because science is anti-Darwinist, science is anti-atheist, science is anti-materialist. And by giving the scientific evidences, because Darwinism, they tried to use the false science as a cover. But now, inshallah, scientific evidences prove the fact of creation by Allah, inshallah, and it's going down all over the world.
Well, not only this, but the Darwinists, every time they bring forth some sort of evidence like the Piltdown Man or Nebraska Man or things of this nature, science is very quick to debunk these theories. But that doesn't stop them from bringing it around again and again and again. Basically, it's like they're throwing things against the wall and hoping that something will stick eventually. And if you hadn't heard that this particular idea had been debunked, they're willing to try it on you again. And it's only through knowledge that you can understand all the arguments that they have for evolution and all the reasons why they are false.
Inshallah. But it is the time for the Mehdi alayhi salam, inshallah. And according to Sayyid Nursi, Mehdi will crush these irreligious philosophies, Darwinism and materialism, with scientific evidences, inshallah. And we are living in these times, inshallah. Allah wanted Darwinism to control the world. 99% of the world became Darwinist. And now Allah wants Islam to prevail the world, inshallah, religious morality. And this will happen, inshallah. And we will see that, inshallah, soon.
Inshallah. I am looking forward to these times, you know. Life under the Darwinist dictatorship is very difficult, as you may imagine. And being a Muslim in the dictatorship is very difficult. But I look forward to the times when the golden age will arrive and everyone will be treated with justice.
Inshallah. So we are coming to the end of our discussion, inshallah, this beautiful, fascinating discussion. And can I have your last messages for the Muslims in the entire world? Non-Muslims also, inshallah.
Well, if I had one message to give everyone, it is that Satan is the enemy, and he's the enemy of everyone. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish or you're Christian or you're Muslim, we all worship the same God, and we should understand that and unite our forces against Satan, because he's very prominent amongst us these days.
Alhamdulillah, and good days are coming. It was so beautiful and such an honor and pleasure to have you, inshallah. We hope to see you again. We hope to see you in Istanbul, inshallah, with your wife and with your family, inshallah.
Oh, it is one of my greatest wishes to visit Istanbul one day. I would like to see the Blue Mosque. It is a very beautiful piece of architecture.
Okay, thank you very, very much for having in our interview, inshallah, and hope to see you again. Salaamu alaikum.
Assalamualaikum wassalam. And thank you. The honor was mine.
MashaAllah. Thank you.